Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, we tackle the three most common masturbation questions because, hey, it's masturbation month. We're going to talk about how to touch yourself for maximum pleasure, why your partner masturbates, where to locate the G-spot. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. We can check out our mailing list and subscribe. I love when you subscribe to us on iTunes and you review us. And also, thanks for telling your friends about the show so they can enjoy it too. And while you're at it, follow us at facebook.com/sexwithemily and on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at sexwithemily. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thank you, Menace, for being here.
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on?
You know, just rocking through Masturbation Month.
I know,
well,
right?
Do you want to hear the most interesting thing?
Are you chafed yet?
Not yet. No, but here's the funny thing. So I talked to you that I'm redoing a lot of things in my life. We're opening up a new, bigger office, and I'm going through my entire house, which doesn't have a lot of storage. And so I finally thought that since I'm redoing it so it can kind of like, I mean, I don't own it, I rent it, but I'm just trying to make it so I can like actually walk from one side of the bed to the other and like open drawers, that I started to open these drawers that are kind of scary to me. Not scary, but like they have literally like every toy. I mean, I have a lot in the garage too, but toys that I'm like, well, one day I'm going to try this one, or I'm going to try this nipple clamp because I have 18 nipple clamps. So I started pulling it all out of the drawers because I had to move the bed. It's a storage bed. I pulled out 65 bottles of lube, like including like samples.
Jeez.
I had about 10 different kinds of nipple clamps. I had, you know,
Bring any for me.
I didn't, no. So many chargers like tangled up. I had like a $250 butt plug with like the pony hair, the ones from Crystal Delight. I had all these cute costumes. I had like a nurse's costume and I had like the schoolgirl. I'm like, oh my God, I've got some sexy stuff going on in my bed. I had like restraints, and that was just two drawers. They're very deep drawers. So that was really fun, and I thought, I'm getting my life, getting everything to organize, and now I see exactly what I have. All that, because then on the other side of the bed, I have like the toys that are on my immediate rotation. Mm-hmm. But these are toys that I just sort of put back there, and toys and props that I'm like, I'll get to that, you know, whip one day.
Uh-huh.
But now it's all across my house, spread across.
Sweet.
The floor.
You got to Snapchat
I'm
that.
I'm snapping it. All right. Check out my Snapchat.
Your Snapchat's blowing up, by the way.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's really fun. Thank you for showing it to me. I know. I watch your
Sex
snaps.
With Emily.
Sex with Emily on Snapchat. I mean,
you would be
sexy.
A billionaire by now if you just listened to me once in a while.
Mendes, I'll never forget that in 2009, you called me and said, get on Twitter. You're like, there's this Twitter thing happening. I'm like, what? You're like, just do what I say. And I remember where I was standing, like in the mission. I'm like, okay.
Do it.
And I know you've been telling me this, and so I'm doing it. And yeah.
I gave you a $1 billion idea last year, and you still haven't jumped on it.
Which one?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute.
I'm just saying.
But
see what happens when you listen to me? Good things happen.
I know. I always listen to you, and you're very loyal, too. And I have to say something about this business is that it's not an easy business. No business is easy, okay?
Yeah.
But entertainment especially, it's just really, a lot of it is hard work. Some of it's luck. It's like working with the right people. And you realize that a lot of people are just kind of in it for themselves and not loyal. But I feel like our relationship going into our 11th year, like you have been like, you are truly like a friend, like a confidant, my co-host. You're just, you've always been stable
you,
and amazing
Emily.
And show up. And I just appreciate you so much. Like, I realize how special that is and how rare that is. People like hate each other. They blow ups. Like,
well, I know
you temporarily might, I annoy you, but you don't, we've never gotten in a fight.
I never say, oh, I'm never going to help you ever again.
No.
I just think, and I think I learned this early on. I had great surroundings when I was starting out in radio. There's a guy named Big Vaughn. If anyone lives in San Francisco and you listen to 106 KML, he's on in the afternoon, 3 p.m. And he taught me, he's the guy that got me into radio. He taught me, you know what? If you help as many people that want to be helped, the good things will happen
to you.
It's
so true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same exact way. Like, people are like, how do I get into this? How do I do this? Like, I love helping people.
But you definitely have help the right people like yourself that are nice, that are into it, that want to succeed and do well
for the right reasons.
I've definitely like helped out people in the past that are just like totally like into it for themselves. They don't care about
take advantage of you or whatever
and stuff like that. But then I definitely have cut those people off.
You can tell,
you know,
right?
But it's just like, I don't know, again, it that goes for life in general, you know. If you just help, if you help other people, good things will happen.
It is so true.
For you,
it is so,
you know?
True. Help other people, and also like, and I always tell people I work with, like, you never want to burn any bridges. Like, wherever you go, you might hate your job, your boss, but if you leave a situation, like, you want to leave it like in a healthy place. And you never know who's going to be your boss, your neighbor again.
Never.
Like, someone who's like your assistant could be your boss in 5 years. Like, you just don't know. And I'm lucky. I'm proud. I don't think I've really burned any like major. I'm still like, I could call my boss from 15, you know, in politics. Just, you don't want to.
There's only one guy that I feel, one thing that I ever done in my career that I feel really bad about it. And it was like 2004, and I still think about it all the time. And it's just, I can get into it. It's just like, okay, this is what I feel really bad about. I had to make a decision. I was let go from a company for some dumb reason. And I was like, damn, I need a radio job. So I went to somebody I knew, and then they got me a job at a Spanish station, which I really couldn't. I don't speak Spanish.
Right.
Poquito, you know, whatever. But
they like tacos.
But they gave me a chance, you know. And then, but then my old company started calling back and wanted me back and gave me this huge opportunity. And then,
Was the morning show, right?
No. Okay. It was a huge opportunity on another morning show. And then I was just like, I was put in a tough place because here I am. I was given up this opportunity when I was down, but there's no way that I'm going to progress. And then there's this other opportunity now. So I had to take that other big opportunity. And then, but I still feel bad to this day that that guy helped me out.
Make amends?
I've had said during that time I said I was sorry, but I still haven't talked to him.
Understand that? I mean, you're not.
I know, Latin. But like, I know, but I still feel really bad about it.
I feel that
it.
Too. Whenever I've had weird things, I'm like, even I want to like make you know make it uh-huh. make rights to wrongs.
Yeah, so I feel I still feel terrible about that.
Well, you're a good person.
I try.
I forgive you.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Yes, I think he would too. But so yeah, there's that. That's a little life lesson there for people. So you know I'm doing all this house renovation. And speaking of being naked, I realized that like I had the, you know, I have my cottage. I feel like I'm invisible there because I do live in the back house and no one knows I'm there. But there are big windows and there were no curtains on them. And I often walk around. I sleep naked, get up in the middle of the night. I get a drink, you know, drink of water. And I'm realizing now like, I sort of have these people could, like, no one is going to, but they could see me naked. So now I've taken care of that situation. But I thought, like, what if my landlord's, like, girlfriend's there and she's like, kick out that girl, the naked girl walking around. So now I'm going to have curtains and it's going to be nice. But, like, I don't know. I was thinking about people's masturbation routines and do you walk around naked? And that's what it made me think of, that I now live in a naked-proof house.
Windows open masturbation is just delightful, though. Like, on an afternoon, you've got the sunlight streaming in and everything. It's mm-hmm. very, like, softcore porn from Showtime.
Yeah. I've got, like, birds tweeting.
Yeah.
I love your cottage. If you ever move out, I'm moving in.
See, I'm glad you see. I love it, too, but there's so many, like, little problems that we're fixing right now.
Okay, good.
Like, there's no whatever.
I told you not to move out.
Yeah. I would just need to
You're contemplating.
Because you like, because it's little and
I like
and
little private. Spaces. I'm like weird. I'm a weirdo. Me. Like, I'm the only person on my group of friends that like really into tiny houses. Have you seen that tiny houses craze? It's like miniature houses and
no,
stuff like that.
But I need to
you can't have them here in LA, but you can buy like these little mini modern.
They're already made and they get them off of your house, like in your mailbox.
Yeah.
You blow it
and
up.
You can buy them for like $30,000.
I've seen those. Yeah, definitely. No, mine's not like that. It's just a little guest house that was built like. You know, years by, you know, my landlord built it from his own hands when he came over from Russia. Yeah. It's like, it's not stable. If there's an earthquake, I might die. But I'm fixing it up. Okay, so that's what we got there. And we got a little sex in the news.
Cool.
Menace, this one made me think of you.
All right.
Canadians already know about car sex and predict even more with driverless cars. Now, yes, we've been talking about driverless cars for a while. You didn't make up driverless cars, but you said they were coming. You predicted them.
Yeah, well, sort of. I was the first one to like start mentioning it, I think, because I would read the articles when they were first coming out.
Right.
And then like no one was like really into it. And then I go, you don't realize this can be like you can be on your way to Vegas and be in the back seat having sex.
Right. And I was like, yeah. Right.
Yeah. You kept on blowing me off.
But it turns out
Look who was right again.
I know.
God, why aren't we billionaires?
I listened to you on Twitter, and I should have made a car.
No, but then this thing's like, remember when I would, 10 years ago, I'm like, you can have sex through the internet, and now that shit is here.
Virtual reality.
Everything. What the F are we doing here? I don't know. Why aren't we on a private jet? Why don't anyone ever listen to me?
I want a driver in a private jet. I hate it too, man. Let's just go for it then.
I gave you, I gave you $1 billion.
I need a new one. I promised
I gave it to you last year and you didn't do it.
I promise your next $1 billion idea, I will run with it.
It's so easy.
But here's the thing. The term backseat driver is about to take a whole new meaning. I am predicting that once computers are doing the driving, there will be a lot more sex in cars, says Barry Kirk of the Canadian Automated Vehicle Center of Excellence. He said more. So apparently there's already an in-car business going on and it's Canadian in Canada. Let's make the point that even though driverless cars are coming and coming fast, that doesn't mean you can't sit back. It doesn't mean you can sit back, take a nap, read a book, watch a movie, or hop in the back seat with your partner. Even if you're in the front seat, you still have to be aware of your surroundings and what's happening. So, and you got to take over the wheel. So they mentioned on Tesla, let's see, officials mentioned videos posted online of Tesla drivers brushing their teeth or reading newspapers with the car's autopilot feature engaged. So the issue of the attentive driver is problematic. They tend to overestimate the performance of automation and will naturally turn their focus away from the road and then when they turn on their autopilot. But they're not really driverless, at least Tesla's not driverless yet. And if car sex is on the list, just remember the authorities are looking for it. So they're going to arrest you for that.
Haters.
It doesn't sound safe to me. Like, I'm already, like, shouldn't be driving in general, and I'm focusing. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So
just put you in a driverless car. It'd be perfect.
I just type in the
address, and you just...
I want to be driving less and have a driver, but I don't want a driverless car.
Yeah.
I found out a way to just, you know, crash through someone's, like, a gas station or something.
Okay.
Okay. But first, I want to give a shout-out.
Should I make my next sexual prediction?
Yeah. Oh, go. Please. Take notes. Let me
think. So... we can have sex over the internet now. It's going to be like virtual reality and stuff like that. You can just put the headsets on. What is the next thing? What is the next level? Are they going to...
I mean, I think this virtual reality thing, like, people will not... men won't leave their house. Because, like, it really feels like you're having sex. I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard about it.
How about within the next 10 years or less, somebody will have sex in space? For science.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, well, people are going to space more. I mean, the people have all these talks about
SpaceX space. And all that stuff, and then Virgin America.
Why not have sex once you're there? Yeah.
Yeah, but they're doing it for scientific research.
How can we make money? You think you want me to go there and be the first person to have
if
sex?
If you want to.
Which makes sense.
You should. Yeah.
Should I start like a crowdsourcing campaign?
Yeah.
Crowdfunding?
Sex and
space. Send me
sex
to space?
Space.
Sex. That's
yes.
it.
Yes.
I'll wear the hamburger can, outfit yeah. with in silver.
You can get on the Virgin America, one of their flights. It's here in Los Angeles. You go on there. It costs about $250,000. You go to space. I'll even let the first blowjob in space, at least. You don't have to do full-on sex because that might be kind of
who
rough.
Would I give the blowjob to?
I don't know. Some rando millionaire that's on the flight with you.
Oh, okay. A millionaire penis.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what about all the gravity stuff? Like, I just wonder how you would, if your body, like your breath and all that, like it would be safe to have sex in space.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you're just
I'm overthinking it. It could be a quickie. Like, typically sex that you do, like, when you do random sex stuff, it's outdoors or weird. Like, it's not usually, like, the most pleasurable sex. It's just that cool that you did it, like on a chairlift, like I did once. Like I couldn't die. It was cold.
Yeah.
I didn't have an orgasm, but it was fun. Good story. So sex in space, I think, would be a good story. It wouldn't be like.
But okay. I need to get something that's a little bit sooner because.
Yeah, 10 years. I can't wait.
Yeah, you'd already be a millionaire and then just stop talking.
Yeah. No, I actually, to be honest, I think I would still be freaking doing this.
All right.
I just
good.
Might get here in a nicer car that I'm not driving.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Okay. All right, guys. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your emails. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. We're back.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about, we're going to do some emails.
Let's do it.
Okay. So thank you for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Oh, it's so easy now to email us on our website. You just go to the Ask Emily button and ask a question, and you ask it right there. Boop, sends, goes right in our inbox. You don't have to, like, go and write out feedback. It's really easy. Tell us your name, where you live, how old you are. That's important, how old you are and how you listen. And the first one, there is about masturbation, because it is masturbation month, so I'm going to get some nitty-gritty details here.
All right.
Dear Emily. Do it. So I'm 19, but I've never successfully masturbated before. I want to, but I'm not I want to, but I'm not sure exactly what to do. I get so far, and then my clit gets sensitive, so sensitive that I can't continue. I don't really want to get a vibrator or any toys. Do you have any suggestions to get past the, how to get past that point and continue? Please help, Aaron. So Aaron's going through like a classic mistake that a lot of men make when they go right for the clitoris. I always say that's like the not the best thing you could do if you're dating someone new, or you're in a new relationship, heterosexual couple. She is not turned on yet. So sometimes when you go right for the clitoris, I get that's a hot button. I'm glad you know what it is, but you got to work up to it. You got to like tease and you got to turn it on. You got to make sure that you're like ready to be touched there, because some women are more sensitive, and a lot of women mostly just don't want you to go right there because they're not even turned on yet. But Aaron, it sounds like you're one of these more sensitive types. So before we get into the technique, I'm just going to lay out the basics for you about masturbation. So you need to be comfortable, you need to be relaxed, and you need to be in the right environment. So for you, that can mean in your bedroom, making sure that like your door is locked, your mom doesn't walk in, your roommates, and whatever makes you feel relaxed and sexy, like, you know, like candles, maybe it's your favorite music, your favorite porn. Mm-hmm. People got the routines. Take the pressure off yourself, because you're new to masturbation. And so I think a lot of women, I was one of these women, I suspected that the first time it would happen. Well, I thought it would happen during sex, and it didn't happen then, or intercourse. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it would happen when I masturbated, and that didn't happen. And you got to figure out, for some women it does, but for some you got to like take time to get to know your own body. So set the mood. Set the atmosphere. And you got to get your brain on board, because your mind is the number one sex organ. So if you're not turned on above the belt, nothing good's going to happen below. So how do you do this, Aaron? For you, I'm not sure. Maybe you think of sexy thoughts. You think about your past sexual partner, or your current one, future. You know, maybe it's an amalgamation of a bunch of things that have happened to you sexually. Some really hot things. Watch porn. Listen to erotica. Whatever gets you in the mood. Okay, next, you want to start touching yourself and stimulating other parts of your body besides the clitoris. So start touching yourself, touching like your nipples, run your hands all over your body. And since you're sensitive, you might want to keep your underwear on and rub over your underwear, which is always a big tip that I've been talking about for years. I don't know if I've talked about that lately, but I love that. Like a lot of women.
What kind of fabric though?
Oh, it could be cotton. It could be silk. It could be satiny. It could be any fabric. But I think that since the clitoris is so sensitive and just a different sensation, that when you rub a lot of women over their underwear, over their clothing, it feels really good, just because it's like your clitoris is getting rubbed with like a different sensation. It also is like a buildup, and then you go in with your hands. It's just a cool little tip trick for you, Aaron, and for your partners. So, you know, touch your thighs, inner thighs, your breasts. And just remember, there's so many erogenous zones in our body. So like your inner thighs, like there's so many nerve endings there, like your neck or your nipples. And this will help you get warmed up and ready. So now that you're warmed up, then you can go into it. So, okay, I'm going to give you some techniques. I'm going to get really specific here about masturbation menace. Use your pointer and middle finger, okay? Pointer, middle finger, and you want to lightly massage circles directly around the clitoris, like brushing over it. So you're not touching the clitoris, you're going around the clitoris, okay? You might want to add a little lube, drops of lube to your fingers, because women are more likely to have an orgasm when you add a little lube into the mix. And you want to vary the strokes and the pressure. So there was a study that came out that said that most women, it's a diagonal move across their clitoris, or you know, that could work for you. You can go faster, slower, you could stick with a steady motion. So just like play with like fingers. You could start tapping. You see that in porn, there's like tapping, or maybe you want a little slap. You could, here's the thing, what I'm thinking for you is the wishbone. So you put your two fingers facing down, right? So your clitoris is like under the hood of your like wishbone, okay? So that's where your clitoris is. And we talk about the legs of the clitoris, and that's like your labia. Like, so you play with your labia, so your fingers are touching them. So you get what I'm saying? Like your clitoris, this is why I need to make my own vulva puppet. I got obsessed with this last night. But so your fingers are rubbing up your labia folds, and you like indirectly are using it to massage your clitoris. You can also put those like labial folds together if you know what I'm saying, it's like you're closing your vagina and you're using those and you're going over your, so you're using those to rub your clitoris, right? So you're indirectly touching your clitoris. So that was a lot there. Did you get that, Aaron? Everyone listening? Those are different moves. And we also have a ton of stuff on our website about masturbating. So you can go there. Next thing is you got to breathe. A lot of people hold their breaths when they're masturbating. And it's just really important to be mindful of that, because the more breath that you breathe in, you breathe out, then you're like allowing the blood flow to move through your body, and it'll just help you relax and help you move that sexual energy through your body. And it helps you get out of your head too.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add here about massaging your clitoris?
Oh, I just don't have one, but right. I wish I knew more, because that would just help out a lot in life.
Did you listen?
I did listen.
Has a clitoris. Last time I heard she was a woman.
I listened to you, yes.
Okay. So here's the last thing. Be patient. It is a skill. Masturbation, I can't drive this home enough. Just like any other skill, you got to work at it. You got to like learn what makes you feel good. It takes practice, and you can't expect to get it right after a few tries. And you can try our 30-day challenge. We could give you, we could give you some products. And so just be patient and know, and just be committed to it. You'll get the hang of things, I promise. And if you want a toy, she doesn't want a toy right now, but if you ever do,
all right,
call me. Okay, this one, Menace, I need your help with.
All right, what do you got?
I just want to hear from you, because you have a penis. But this is a really common issue.
Masturbation for guys is so easy, but for women, it's so complicated, because they're not all the same.
I know. This is why I have to explain.
Penises are all the same.
Like I said, you put 100 women in a room and they were all masturbating, they would all be doing something different.
Yeah.
It would be like a freak show. It would not be coordinated. Not a freak show. That's a terrible thing. But it would be like, that's a terrible idea. What? Insulting women.
No, it's not. Don't be so sensitive.
I can't help it. It's not offensive. I came from San Francisco. I'm so PC. Okay, dearest Emily, I start off by saying I love your podcast and I listen to it all the time. I love hearing the facts along with your sense of humor. It's very entertaining and keeps me listening. This is probably a silly concern, but here it goes. My boyfriend masturbates often, in all caps, when I'm at work, during the day, get home from the gym, etc. We live together. I find lube he accidentally leaves out all the time. I'm not mad about it, so maybe I'm overthinking things. We've always had a healthy sex life from the beginning, multiple times a week and sometimes multiple times a day. I hope I'm being silly, but now it seems like he'll masturbate and not want to have sex with me later. Is it me, or is loss of interest in me, or is he just a regular horny guy who wants it at random times? I brought it up once recently, and he acted like I was a sex addict who wanted it all day, every day, and said it's common for it to dwindle down in a relationship. I know that this happens in long-term relationships. Sex tends to decrease, but I feel like if it happens, we'll drift apart, and I don't want that. Tell me I'm crazy. Thanks in advance. Seriously, the queen, sincerely, the queen overthinker. I thought I was the queen overthinker.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's bring this down.
A lot of people are overthinking everything constantly.
I know.
That's why they're so afraid to talk to their partner, because they're always overthinking stuff.
I know. She overthought this whole thing. So that's why, like, we really had to break this down when we're going through show prep, because it was like, Madison and I were like, wait, what are the questions here? Because there are two things. It's like, first is the masturbation question. Like, why is he masturbating? Because I kind of think about, like, universally, like, I get asked this question all the time. I'm in a relationship. I love my boyfriend. Things are great. Why does he still masturbate? They don't understand that masturbation is normal. He did it before you. He knew you. He did it with you. He'll do it.
It's
you
guys so easy, off. Too.
But how do you explain, Menace, that like you can be in love with your partner, but just because you're masturbating doesn't mean that you are not being set. You're not satisfied for men.
Yeah.
Urge,
well, sometimes maybe you're not available. Also, a lot of it, it's like, okay. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way and take it out on him.
Right. Okay.
Okay? Because if you do that, it's just gonna make a relationship.
Queenie,
even worse.
We're getting back to you specifically. This is just Menace's
sometimes
theory.
It's kind of, I don't want to, because using, saying selfish is kind of a wrong term for it, but let's, to make it easier, that's what I'm going to use.
Okay.
It's just like, okay, think of the vagina and how complicated it is to satisfy, all right?
The Rubik's Cube of Life.
The Rubik's Cube
favorite
of Life.
Line you've ever said.
Yeah.
Probably.
Now, think about, okay, now do I want to go and spend all that time to satisfy that vagina to get what I want, which I can take care of myself in a few minutes, and then I'm done, and then I'm happy, and I can go to bed, just hang out and I'm done. Or a lot of times guys do it because they think it's going to help them later when they do have sex with
pre-gaming.
You. Pre-gaming.
So they ejaculate already. And then
it's like, It's like practicing for, you know, like
for the big game.
Yeah, you're going to play basketball later. What do? You practice, you know?
But isn't it also, yes, and I agree to all those things that sometimes mm-hmm. guys are like, it's just a hassle. And women too. We're like, I'd rather just masturbate than give, you know, than have sex too. That's so true. But don't you think for also men, it's like for you, I don't know, but do you feel like it relieves stress?
Definitely.
I think for a lot of men too. It's like, it's so natural and normal for men. Like, it's 100%. Like, most men will still masturbate in a relationship all the time. And it's like, it's not about connecting with someone or like bearing your soul or intimacy. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want that per se. It just means like he's stressed, he's anxious, he just wants some. Sometimes it's just, I call it procrasturbation. But sometimes I just do it to like, I'm like, I should be doing something, but this will get me in the mood. This will relax me. I'll just masturbate. Like, I do it for a lot of different reasons. And I could be in a relationship and have great sex. So masturbation will happen. Okay, Aaron, like, not Aaron, that was the last one. Queenie, overthinker. This is just for kind of everyone to understand that if you're with a guy, and I just say this because when I was younger, in my 20s, I was dating a guy who masturbated and watched porn, and I was 24, and he was like serious boyfriend, and I was really confused by it because I was like, I was shocked. I was thinking like, we have amazing sex, and to this day, it still is like great sex I think about, and I learned a lot. But I didn't get that. Like, I thought, well, does he want me to look like that? Does he want me to get fake boobs? Does he want to be with a blonde? Does it mean I'm not satisfying? Like, these are things that women think, you know? And it's just not the case. Like, that's really not always the case. So I think that male masturbation can be confusing. So now we got that out of the way. When masturbation is a problem in the relationship is when the masturbatory habits conflict with your relationship. So, for example, if he is masturbating so much that he's no longer interested in having sex with you, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, Matt's talking about, like, sometimes he's like, I don't want to, I'm just going to have sex. But if he's like, no, you're a sex, like, making you feel bad because he doesn't want sex, we've got a problem. But a lot of times, it's not because of the masturbation, it's because there's other things going on in the relationship.
Don't be jealous of the masturbation. Who cares?
Right. But we already got through that. Right. Don't be jealous. Like, guys, do it. Yeah. Married guys, single
don't you
guys,
encourage it, Madison? You've talked about that in the past.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about it. Like, masturbate. Take care of yourself. So that way, whatever you're doing is not for stress. I don't want you stress relieving inside of me. Like, I'd rather that be about, like, connecting and us having fun. Like, if you just need to get one out, like, take care of yourself. Right. I'm not a fleshlight. I have things to do.
And your boyfriend, luckily, has probably the most impressive collection out of anybody.
Oh yeah,
besides our office,
he's
enjoying the benefits.
Yeah, he's
connoisseur
awesome.
Of the fleshlight.
He is. Yeah,
can you come under that other name?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, like we'll
bring
see
that up.
Okay. Yeah, does he name them? This one's.
I meant, will he come in under? I don't know if he mentioned
does
he name.
This one's Donnie. This is Stephanie.
He definitely doesn't name them. But like one time, he was joking around. Donna, he's like, I'm going to call this one Madison. And I was like, no.
Like, I'd rather be Madison here. So I think that you need to talk to him about this, like about all of it. And you can just say like, I'd like to have sex more often and you're afraid it'll disappear because I know he said that. What concerns me is he said sex dwindles. And you know what? It does. It does dwindle. I'm telling you, over time in the relationship, we all had sex 3 times a day at the first month of a relationship, 2 years, whatever, however long that honeymoon phase goes. But eventually biology takes over. You know, we get comfortable and it just does. So the fact that he just said it's going to dwindle, that's fine. No, I think we know it's going to dwindle. Expect that it's going to change a little bit, that your sexual habits, your drive, but that you want to work on it, that you want to, like, you know, say, well, we're not having it as much, but let's try to keep it interesting, or let's compromise about how many times a week we have it. I've talked about this a lot on the show. So, you know, you can just let him know that, you know, hey, I heard you say it's going to, like, die over time, but we got to work on it. I want to spice up our sex life so it doesn't disappear completely. So I think you just got to get more information, because it does sound here, Missy Overthinker, Queenie Overthinker, that you might be overthinking, because I had to read your email a few times because I was like, you said, did he call you a sex addict or he made you feel like a sex addict? Like, this could be your own projection. So I'm just not really sure what's going, like, exactly. But I'm telling you that it's normally he masturbates, but it's not normal if he's making you feel bad and pushing you away, which I'm sure is not his intention, which is why they need to talk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if it all comes down to communication.
Overthinking it.
Guys don't overthink. Some guys overthink. I've dated overthinkers. They make me feel super normal and calm. I'm not really an overthinker, though. I overthink about, like, stupid stuff that I shouldn't think overthink. But that's still overthinking. Ready? Number two. This is number three.
All right, number three.
This is my number three masturbation email. Where the F is my G-spot? Emily, I was
Where's the G-Spot locator app we've been talking about for years? See, another billion-dollar idea.
I don't know. Because it's different in every woman, but I want to do it. How do we find it? Okay. I just think it's hard because it's different. It's not so easy
to find. It's like we're Indiana Jones.
I know, really.
We're trying to find the golden statue.
It's so hard. Like, this is for a woman. Like, she thinks hers is gone and migrated. Listen, Emily.
Never.
I was really paying attention the last time I had sex, and the spot that felt really good each time you thrust it in and out was against the back wall of my vagina toward my back.
I know
the G-spot is supposed to be towards your stomach, so what is that spot I'm feeling? Could my G-spot have migrated to the back? Thanks, Lauren Pittsburgh, iTunes listener.
Yes.
It did not go to the back.
Review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars.
5 stars on iTunes. Woo,
makes
we
Emily
love that.
Happy. She dances every time she gets 5 stars.
Yeah, because you know why? It does. Because we've, you know what happens? You know what's annoying? I'm just going to, sorry, Lauren. I'm going to find your G-spot in a minute. But years ago, when I was trying to make a living, I still struggle, but we charged 4 years ago. We had people.
It was an experiment.
It was an experiment. We said, can you please pay for a podcast? 99 cents a day, whatever. Didn't work. I get it. No one paid. But we still have reviews on there. They're like, she charged or she did so many ads. And I think I did used to do a lot of ads. I'm sorry. But just all I've wanted to do is make a living doing the show. And I think I've worked out those kinks. However, those angry people, their comments are still there.
It still lives on.
So can you please just say
push them
nice,
down.
Yeah. And it's just because I want people to keep listening because I love my job and I love what I do. And even if I became a billionaire and I had my own plane, I would still do the show every day with Menace.
Yep.
Okay.
We'd be podcasting from the plane.
Exactly.
On our way to...
Dude, that's so in my radar.
That would be awesome.
I need nothing but that. Okay. A number of things could be going back back there, Lauren. Here's the thing. I can tell you for one thing for sure, even though we don't have the G-Spot locator app, your G-Spot did not migrate. So let me break down the vagina for you. It has a number of erogenous zones, okay? So there's the A spot. That's the front vaginal wall behind the belly button, which is kind of tangentially near the G spot. Then there's the O spot, and that's the spongy tissue on the back wall of the vagina, and that might be the spot you're feeling, or you just might like how it feels when he's thrusting in and out. There's also cervical orgasms. That happens when the penis reaches so deep and hits your cervix. There's like a lot of different orgasms, but if you want to start with your G-spot, and why not start with that, there's some things in life that you got to start exploring solo because it sounds like it's not happening with your partner. So, where is the G-spot? It's located about 2 inches inside the vagina. I think a lot of people think it's way further back, and it's the front vaginal wall. So it's like towards your belly button, so you're right about that. And there's a cluster of tissue, and it's roughly the size of a bean, and it resembles the texture of a walnut. Although the size and location, but, you know, it does vary from vagina to vagina, but I believe me, it's not in your back. When we become aroused, so you start using your fingers and you play and you explore, this lump of tissue starts to swell and it becomes much more sensitive to the touch, so it's easier to find. And so the best way to find it is using your fingers. Use some lube, explore that area. If you can have a clitoral orgasm or turn yourself on, sometimes that's a great way to get started because that area will start to swell up. And so with your fingers or your partner's fingers, you put your palm facing up, your fingers curled up, and gently stroke the top of the vaginal wall. So your fingers like in this come hither motion, 2 fingers coming towards your belly button. And it's more of a stroking. It's not like a thrusting, or it could be a pressure, like you stroke and you apply pressure. Mm-hmm. And again, it's different for
every
woman.
Does a guy need scuba gear doing this, like looking down there, finding?
Do you want some?
Some scuba?
You could use like, no. Like, no.
Can you also,
unless she squirts. What?
Can you also share, real quick, don't.
Because I was thinking about Mike Catherwood on Loveline when he did a squirting thing with a mask on, but yeah.
Wow. Mike has done a lot of crazy things. But the thing that I want you to bring up, and I know we mentioned it many times, but we get new listeners all the time.
We do.
Just a really quick recap. Your friend... You had a friend who thought the same thing as this email.
Yes.
And then so she masturbated every day for 30 days.
Every day for 30 days, which is kind of the inspiration for our masturbation contest this week, or this month, and she's inspired me my entire life. This was when we were 19 and we were in college and she had never had an orgasm. And she had an internship and she was like going away for the summer. And she said, you know what? She actually didn't tell me before she left. This is after. But she's like, I masturbated every day while I was there. And she was there for 30 days. And she said, I just sat back. I used my fingers. I played around. She had no idea. She had sex like once in her life. And she, like the third week, she finally figured out and she had like amazing orgasms.
Changed her life.
changed her life. But it took her like 3 weeks. And I'm telling you, she's still my best friend till this day. Every time she has sex with her husband, she's married, she'll have 3 orgasms. Like, I believe that because she took that time of getting to know her own body, like, more than most people I know, that she knows how to move. And she knows it didn't come naturally to her. Maybe she had sex a few times before that. So that's the story. You've got to practice. But the G-spot, it does require continuous stimulation. It might not happen right away. Again, there's also some great toys out there. I actually first found mine with a toy. I don't remember which toy it was. But there's a lot of great G-spot toys we talk about. And now I can have it during sex. So I had to find it that way. So I know it's like not easy, but that's what crazy. I do. And another thing is, if you feel like you have to pee, you want to keep going. That feels like it's probably working. So, and also, if anyone wants more G-spot tips, God knows, we've got them on sexwithemily.com. Hi, Emily. I'm a new listener, and I actually got started with your show after Menace was talking about it on The Woody Show.
See? You swear I never talk about you.
I never say that. I'm so honored that you talk about me. Someone tells me that you talk about me. I love it. I just want you to like me and talk about me and come over and get drunk.
By the way, The Woody Show is a morning radio show that I do in Los Angeles with a group of people. It's about pop culture and what's going on in the news.
It's like the most popular. You're killing it. I'm proud of you.
It has become, over the 2 years, one of the most popular morning shows in Los Angeles.
I'm really proud of you.
Which is crazy.
We don't talk about how proud I am of you enough.
Thank you.
I've been bragging about you. Yeah. I'm really, really like.
Thank you. Anyway. We also podcast every day. You can download it. Yeah. Just search The Woody Show.
You guys should all check it out. I just wanted your take on something that was pointed out to me not too long ago. I'm a single guy, 25 years old, and I've been out of a serious relationship for 2 years now. My friends are always surprised by this. They, mainly my female friends, consider me an incredibly outgoing person. I'm funny. I'm nice. I can't tell you how many times someone said, "Why are you still single?" Which is the worst question ever to ask a man or woman. I have no problems talking to women except when we go out. Could be a group of guys. Could be a mixed group of males and females. It never fails, though. When someone says, "Go talk to her," I feel as if I'm being put on the spot, and I've have to come up with some witty line to make her notice me. Any advice for the person who's never shy except in the moment when it comes to talk to a girl?
I know, that sucks.
And this is Aaron. He's a male. He's 25. Obviously, he's a male. Kansas City, Missouri. Podcast Republic.
What?
That's how he listens. So a lot of guys have this issue, this challenge.
I've lived that issue.
Menace lived it. He no longer does.
No.
Being in the moment is terrifying because it's the fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. What goes on? Can you channel your 25-year-old self?
And I'm sorry that it feels like I talk about this every other podcast and I've been talking about it for years, but if you get rejected, nothing physically is going to happen to you. You might feel sad for a moment, but you won't die. You won't die. But what you will know is, you know what? She's not interested in me. Or, awesome, she is interested in me.
Right.
That's all that's going
to
happen.
But you just go up, and it's practice, too. Just like everything, masturbation is a new practice that you have to muscle. You've got to learn.
There's been so many stories in my life where I find out years like, oh, my God, I was into you, but you never made a move.
Every guy has
that
story.
Dumbass, you know?
Why? Because you didn't know.
Because I was so shy. Because guys, again, we're so dumb, we can't read signs. Unless you're sucking on my penis. Oh my God, she does like me. I don't know. I don't know if you're being nice. Right. I don't know.
So do you think that would help with girls? This is separate, but are more, like when girls are more assertive.
Aggressive. I think that they should be. I think it's 2016. You want everything to be equal. Why does it need to be this thing where I need to chase you and then find out? Like, if you're into me, let me know that you're into me. What's the big deal? Like, that's not going to turn a guy away. That's going to make a guy super interested. Like, stop with these stupid games.
It's true.
We are in a new era, people.
We are in a new era. Yeah. It's absolutely true, Aaron.
If you're a woman listening to this podcast and there's a guy that you're into, let him know. Maybe he is into you, but he's so stupid. 90% of the guys I know out there that just can't pick up on
signs.
They
can't pick up signs, and they're so afraid. They think they have that. They think
you're just being nice.
They think they have to have the perfect line, but it's not about what you say. It's like how you say it and how you present yourself. So if you go up to a girl, and your eyes are you're hunched over, and your eyes are staring at the floor, and your body language is uncomfortable, that's not attractive. Mm-hmm. But you got to kind of channel, what if you're hanging out just with your guy friends? So you want to be confident in your speech, stand them straight, be like, "Hey, you having fun tonight? What's going on?" You could just say that, but it's the way you present yourself. You look her in the eye and your body language is confident. You don't pause. You don't, and you just, "How's your night going?" You can observe something that's happening. So in the moment, if you're at a concert or club, you can be like, "Have you seen this band live before? something that you would just observe, because then you guys have something to talk about.
Yeah.
And I like that your friends are pushing you, because I'm telling you, and you're going to thank me for this. I swear to God, Aaron, the more you will do, the more that you do this, the easier it will become, like anything in life. And right now, you just got to get over that hump. Like, there's a lot, like, every time. And, you know, fear is where we grow. Like, the most things, like, whenever I've had, like, growth and learned things, it's because I was terrified at first. I used to be afraid of public speaking. Like, I'd break out in hives. Like, clearly, like, I can speak to people right now. I can do that. I mean, there's a lot of things. So the guys who are good at talking to women, it's because they do it over and over again. So just remember, you're smart, you're funny, you're outgoing, you've got lots of friends, you've got people who love you. And these are all true things. These are true. This is you, Aaron. And so just believe that when you're talking to men, women, you know, everybody. So, you know, I think it's really just about practice. And you know that, you know, your friends, you can even talk to your friends. Like, what do you think is a, you know, how'd you talk to that girl? But I really just think it's just practicing talking. And even women that you're not necessarily even interested in. Doesn't matter. Just talk. Okay. That's what I got for you. That's all we got.
That's it.
This was awesome. This feels really good. I'm going to masturbate. I'm so happy. I'm going to progasturbate because I actually have work to do. I love you, Menace.
Love
everyone,
you too,
follow
Emily.
Your 16 Instagram accounts now. You have
Thank you for everybody on the last podcast. I mentioned so many people hit me up all the time about food in Las Vegas. So I combined it. I combined those and I started another Instagram account called Vegas Foodie Guy. So just follow that Vegas Foodie Guy if you're interested in that. If you're not, then I'm always hanging out somewhere in the country. You can follow me at Menace.
And my dog, Churro.
And my dog, Churro.
And I love
my
that everyone.
Baby. And I know it was so cool. Like,
that was really cool.
I talked about this on the last podcast, but a couple podcasts back, I said, how many people actually listen to the very end of the show? Like the whole thing. Let's do an experiment. Go to my dog's Instagram account and wish her happy birthday. And then so many people commented and said, I listened to the whole podcast, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
And then that's really, really cool.
I love that. Okay, well, Menace, it's good to see your face.
Thank you, everybody.
And thank you, Gibson Guitar, for having us at their Gibson showroom here in Beverly Hills. We love it. And thank you, producer Madison. Thank you, Lori and Jamie, who are killing it with our videos. You got to check it out on YouTube and Instagram. And I just love you all. Thanks for listening. Is it good for you? Email me feedback at sexwithemily.com.